Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Quality sleep optimizes recovery, helping professional and everyday athletes perform their best. Only the Sleep Number Smart Bed is proven to improve the quality of sleep and provides valuable insights that can be used to support overall wellness. Talent on a college team allows the best players to outperform their opponents, but in the NFL, everyone is talented. Players entering the draft need every competitive edge they can get, starting with quality sleep. Training will only get more intense as players transition to the pros, so to optimize recovery, they can rely on Sleep Number for consistent, high-quality sleep. Experience game-changing sleep with a Sleep Number smart bed only at a Sleep Number store.
Today's episode of Zero Block 30 is presented by our friends at Starbucks. As you know, if you've listened to any of our shows over the past, I think, 4 months, they have hired 21,000 military members and spouses. They've opened up 50 military family stores. They have presented videos that we've done on the Zero Bucks 30 tour, where we went to Seattle, Dallas, San Diego, and my lovely hometown, San Antonio. I think I'm going to start calling San Antonio my hometown, too. I've been here for so long. It's basically my town now. Like, I was thinking about it the other day because I was going out to my meat store because I went to go get my dog a cow leg for Christmas. I went to go get him a full smoked cow leg. And I was thinking, I think this makes me like a legit Texan. I think I'm a Texan at this point.
Like a local. Do you go places and people know who you are when you walk in?
Yeah, like the meat store. It was actually kind of embarrassing whenever I went to the meat store, because I told you guys, whenever I harvest my meat, you know, I go in there and I call for like weeks at a time, like every 2 or 3 days I'll call this place. And as I was walking out with this legitimate sack full of cow bones for my dog, she was like, "Oh, by the way, the meat will be released on January 5th. So you don't have to call this year a bunch if you don't." I was kind of embarrassed that you recognize me. I mean, I have a recognizable look with the tattoos, the minor league baseball hat, the red beard and everything. I can't imagine there's too many people in Holotus that are going through that way, but that's the way it went down. Anyways, Starbucks is doing all kinds of stuff for veterans all throughout Texas, even in San Antonio as well. Like I've said, they hired 21,000 veterans since the program started in 2013. They've also extended it to have college benefits that if you need to go to college and you're a military member or spouse and you work there, you can go to Arizona State's online college, and that will take you all over the world, anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world. You can go to school there. Starbucks.com/veterans to check out more of what they're doing. Again, the entire time they haven't asked you to buy one single cup of coffee. They've donated 3 million cups of coffee. In fact, they just want you to go to Starbucks.com/veterans. Thanks again to Starbucks. What a great partnership that was, and we look forward to it continuing in the future. Let's start the show. It's a holiday break, but we decided that we would hop in for a little bit because big news. A couple weeks ago, it's really been going on for probably, I would say, 2 or 3 months. It's been really in the public, I guess, media, especially amongst leftist media, where they've talked a lot about how President Trump had never been to a combat zone before. And we kind of thought, I think we all agreed that it wasn't as big deal as people making it out to be, right? Like that.
No, definitely not. We all said it's more hassle for everyone that's actually there at the bases than it's actually worth. So we didn't see it as big of a deal.
And Kate, that was your thoughts too, right?
Oh yeah. Just a giant pain in the ass getting ready for it. You have so much other stuff going on. Whoever the president is, like if your boots on the ground, you're like, oh God, no.
Yeah. So you don't want to be there. I mean, I guess if you make it a surprise visit, it's a little bit better, which is kind of what he did. Like the way that he went about going to the combat zone, in my opinion, is about the best way you can do it. Because there's probably even high-level leaders, colonels and above on the ground who didn't even know that he was coming. I did think it was interesting. Have you ever seen those plane tracking nerds who like they track college football coaches throughout the off season, or they're like, oh, Chip Kelly's flying to Oregon. He's going to go interview. You know what I'm talking about? People did that at like in real time with the president. Did you guys see those articles?
I didn't say that. Oh. I didn't see that. I knew those people existed.
Yeah.
You got to respect their dedication. But
what a way to spend Christmas.
I'll tell you what happened. So President Trump on Christmas Day tweeted no less than 7 million times. Conservatively speaking, no less than 7 million times. Yeah. And then at about, I think it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it went dark. Like he just stopped tweeting. And then he didn't tweet almost all of the next day. So people that like do plane tracking stuff were like, okay, well, let's see what's going on. They tracked the Air Force One size plane and style of plane in the air all the way from DC over Europe where it stopped it. I think it was either Spangallam or Ramstein Air Force Base to refuel. And then it picked up and went to Iraq again. So people were putting it together like, oh, the president's gone dark because he's over the waters and he can't tweet right now. He doesn't have the ability to do it. So they tracked him and they knew that he was going to a combat zone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we didn't know, obviously nobody in the media knew that he was going, and people who did, who are in the pool, like were just on the plane and they ended up there. They knew that they were going, but they're sworn to secrecy and stuff like that. So nobody knew that the president was going. And then I heard whenever President Trump actually got to Iraq, I heard one of the interviews, and we want to play that interview now. Here's what the president said about his first initial landing in Iraq and going to a combat zone for the first time.
Did you have any concerns about coming here today?
Absolutely. When I heard what you had to go through, I mean, look, I had concerns for the institution of the presidency, because not for myself personally. I had concerns for the First Lady, I will tell you. But if you would have seen what we had to go through with the darkened plane, with all windows closed, with no lights on whatsoever, anywhere, pitch black, I've never seen it. I've been in many airplanes, all types and shapes and sizes. I've never seen anything like it. We're coming in, and I know all of the things that were surrounding us for safety. So did I have a concern? Yeah, I had a concern. But my bigger concern was maybe the people that were with me, certainly all of them, except I think John Bolton, he's a pretty tough guy. He can handle it, right, John?
Kate, when you heard the president's thoughts about landing in a combat zone, what went through your head? Was there any similarities that you felt the first time that you landed in Afghanistan?
It did make me think of my first time going to Afghanistan. When the plane does that dip, that combat landing,
yeah,
and that's kind of like, oh shit, what's happening? And I think being a boot like I was, like you expect the door to open and it to be like, there was a firefight, but it's not like that at all. You're like, oh, there's the Burger King over there. Like, we're okay.
Do you remember your first flight into Iraq?
Very much so, because we were in Kuwait. It was nighttime, and I remember walking out of my tent, and I think I was going to be going to the DFAC, and my first sergeant intercepted me. He goes, no, so we're out of here. And there was such a sense of urgency that it was like, oh shit, we're about to go. Now we're going. And so then what was different is when you fly into Kuwait, you fly on a commercial airline and it's real comfy. And I remember there were two very attractive young flight attendants on my flight into Kuwait. So that was very nice. But then when you go into Iraq,
oh my God! Coming up, God's taking the horny roll. Love it.
Oh, wow!
And then when you go into Iraq, you know you get nuts to butt on a C-130. It's super uncomfortable in those canvas seats, and just like you guys said, it's dark. And then all of a sudden, you open the doors, and just like Kate said, you're expecting it to be kind of chaos and craziness. But even though there wasn't, there was still like trepidation and there was still kind of like a pit in my stomach because I didn't know what to expect. That's one of the craziest things when you do anything for the first time and you don't know what to expect. And you go into a room and we got briefed that, you know, where we were at Camp Anaconda just was one of the most mortared places in all of Iraq. So I just thought I was going to go to sleep that night and the mortars were going to start. It was fairly scary, I guess you could say.
It is scary. And I saw a lot of people like making fun of them or whatever, but I thought it was a very relatable moment and mm-hmm. a real moment. I was scared out of my mind the first time I landed in a combat zone, because when you're standing in there, K-9 is a little bit different. We didn't get to go on any of the commercial flights because we have I mean, we traveled with like 80 dogs deep, so they don't want to take all those dogs. So we have all the dogs barking. They don't know what's going on. The jet on the inside of the plane goes completely black, except for there's like two or three red lights that are on inside, so you can see a little bit. And I remember very clearly, I was listening to longtime stoolie Plies and his
Brick by Brick.
Goons Out Lurking was what I was listening to on my Microsoft Zoom, is what I had at the time when I was going through. And I landed. And they don't tell you, Cons, you're absolutely right. No one in my leadership told me what to expect. But you don't know, like you land. Actually, where I landed when I first went to Iraq is exactly where President Trump was, in Al-Asad Air Base. And then we went to Fallujah after that. So you land there, you're on a strip, and you can see the light from the Burger King. You can see the green bean coffee spot. And I'm sure it was the same type of thing for him. But you don't know what to expect. I mean, he's obviously traveling with probably F-18s on either side, so he's a little bit more secure than we were. But it is a terrifying thing the first time that you go into a combat zone, because all you think of that you're going to land, and it's essentially going to be like we were soldiers. Whenever you get on the ground, you're going to open and start shooting. But you're not loaded. You're not doing anything. There was some objectively funny things that comes out, and I don't care what side of the aisle you are on politically, that photo op of them being in the chow hall being strapped up with NVGs on their heads. What do you think? We'll start with you, Kate. What do you think the dudes in the NVGs that are in full combat battle rattle are thinking while they're taking this pic?
Son of a bitch. Our buddy, they know their buddies are going to make so much fun of them afterwards. Like,
wait, you guys didn't wear MVGs to the chow hall?
I mean, they're wearing stuff you're not even allowed to wear in the chow hall. Like, you're not allowed to bring live rounds into the chow hall. Like,
no.
You're not allowed to do those things. And Al-Asad hasn't been dangerous. I mean, I don't want to speak out of turn, but if it's anything like it was when I was there, Al-Asad was not a dangerous place. It's basically in the middle of nowhere. It's an air base, so you don't need to be locked and loaded. In fact, you have to drop all of your weapons. You have to drop everything before you're even allowed to go in to the chow hall. I mean, I think their faces know they are about to be memes.
Yeah.
That is the face of somebody that, like, I'm glad that at least, like, 30% of my face is covered so people won't know that it's me here.
I got to know who was the one who said, okay, guys, put all of this on, because – we're getting ready to take a picture, and this is what you need to look like. Do you think that was somebody in their chain of command, or you think that was Trump thinking, hey, make them look as badass as possible? I don't know who would give that order to look that ridiculous in the chow hall.
I bet it was a colonel 1,000%, because that's a move that a colonel makes because he wants to make a good impression, or she wants to make a good impression. Mm-hmm. I think that's what happened there. But the funniest part to me is, it's just that you think that that's such a good idea. And you know Trump the way that he is, and he loves a good photo op. I mean, he wanted that $100 million parade. So you know he loves a good photo op too. Mm-hmm. It's just such a silly picture.
Agreed, it's a silly picture. But think about this, though, too. How many people would look at that picture and look at it the way we do and say and know automatically, all right, they're in the chow hall. They would not wear any of that gear in the chow hall. Most people probably look at that picture and think, oh, wow, that looks pretty cool.
I bet there's tons of people that see that on Facebook users that'll see it in like 3 weeks whenever it gets to Facebook. They'll go on Facebook and be like, this is a badass picture.
Yeah.
Trump's in the middle of the shit.
Yeah, he's in the mix, man. He's in the real shit. He's in combat.
All right.
All
so
those wacky militias that live out in the boonies are going to be like, we need that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to be going on eBay trying to get all the gear that they see there. One other thing that people have been talking about a lot, this has taken over Vet Bro Twitter, is what we lovingly refer to it as here, where some of the more notable people who are veterans that are also on Twitter talked about it a lot, where President Trump's video that he tweeted out included members of SEAL Team 5. Cons, we'll start with you this time. What were your thoughts when you saw that President Trump essentially tweeted out that SEAL Team 5, their location in the world?
I think, honestly, I think that has to be on the SEAL team's leadership, their senior ranking NCOs and their officers to know better. If they're that concerned, as well they should be, with people knowing where they are, then I'm sorry, either you can't take pictures with President Trump or it needs to be highly regulated, because you have to know when the president is showing up that these pictures are going to go all over the world. Like, that's not something that it should come as a shock to anybody within that chain of command, that, oh man, these pictures might get out. Like, no shit, they're going to get out. He's the president. And part of the reason he goes on these trips, just like every president who's done it before, is for the photo op. So yeah. I don't blame the president. You know, people are saying like, oh, the president should know better. No, this is on the leadership within their chain of command to know better.
Kate?
I mean, it's like a snafu kind of thing, but I don't think it's that huge of a deal. Maybe I've been out so long that OPSEC doesn't mean much. But like in this particular case, like, I don't think anything's going to come of it. I don't think anyone's in extra danger because of it. And I think, again, like he's saying, that they should have, they might have even known, like, it's going to get out, whatever. Like, I don't know. I just didn't think it was that huge a deal, but I can see how Bet Bro Twitter would be all riled up.
And I think you're foolish if you don't think that there's a Green Beret, that there's a SEAL team, that there's a reconnaissance unit, that there's Delta forces in each one of the major theaters that we're fighting in. Of course there is. Of course there is.
Surprise.
Like, they're there. But the blame is going on the president. The chaplain is fucked. Because like, he's the one who did it. It was the chaplain who did it. And you know he's doing it because he might have just got attached to this unit. So he's thinking he's king ding ding-a-ling of the chaplain corps. Like, I'm out here with SEAL Team 5. I'm doing my stuff. Because, and even a giving away the SEAL team number is a big deal. Like, if you guys remember going back whenever we've had Rob O'Neill on the show, he still wouldn't say, still couldn't openly say that he, like, from his mouth, that he was on SEAL Team 6.
He right. said it, and I had to go back and bleep it out.
Yeah, so, like, you can't even have
You were like, oh, you're allowed to say it now? And he's like, oh, actually, I said that. And I'm like, okay, we'll cut that.
Yeah, so we, like, go back. We might have to cut this again, but it's okay. We're not going to cut it. So you can't say what number SEAL Team you are. And the chaplain
– wait, did we just say what SEAL Team he was on?
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, everybody knows. Like, I'm not under any obligation. He's in SEAL Team 6. I mean, they made a movie called SEAL Team 6. It's not like a secret. Okay. So, but SEAL Team 5 is there, and they knew it. Like, they put it, and the fact that they do it, it's just OPSEC after OPSEC. That goes on top of last week, since we had our episode. There was, I think it was a B1. And playing nerds, please, I've been giving you credit over the last couple of weeks. Don't come at me. The B1 bomber was strapped with a nuclear weapon, and the Air Force official Twitter account tweeted out that they had a nuclear capable B1, which they're not supposed to, like, by treaty rules, apparently. So there's just all kinds of stuff going on. But President Trump's back in America now. That's a long flight to do that 2 days back to back. That's a long flight. He's probably experiencing a little bit of back pain. If he is, I would go with our friends at BioWave, because wouldn't it be great to be pain-free? You know that you have a little bit of pain in your neck or in your back. BioWave is life-changing, non-opiate-effective way to block chronic or acute pain. In fact, 85% of people who use BioWave experience a significant reduction in pain in just one 30-minute treatment. It's proven effective for over 15 years and used by 80% of the our 80 VA active military SEAL teams and most NBA, NBL, MLB teams. By the way, the DVA recognized, VA prescribed, and FDA cleared, and it's made in America. If you're a veteran or active duty or someone you love needs to be safe, non-opiate and effective way of managing pain, please go to biowave.com and learn how to get treatment. Visit biowave.com to visit, to read amazing testimonial from veterans and active duty military on all kinds of other stuff. Let's do a little bit. Kate, are you with us?
I am.
Okay. So we are hodgepodge in this episode a little bit. We're on the Christmas break. Kate, you are on the Jersey Shore, right?
I'm down at Aunt Peg's, Party Peg's, down Party Jersey Pegs. Shore.
Are you getting loaded up on chicken parm again?
I'm actually rolling solo. I'm going to do a day. I spent the night last night. I'm just going to walk by the ocean, zen myself out, have a day, got a pedicure. But the internet's a little shoddy down here, so if I sound bad, that's why.
Yeah, so if the levels are a little bit off, it's because We don't have all of our normal gear and things like that, but thanks for listening anyway. I wanted to ask you guys real quick, because this is our last episode before the new year, any big time New Year's resolutions that you're thinking about? And we'll go through all three of you for the next year. We'll start with you, Kate. Kate froze. We're going to start with Connor.
We won't.
We'll start with Connor.
This is not to sound any sort of way, you know, I just don't see the big hullabaloo about New Year's resolutions. I've never been one to make really big sweeping resolutions, because I think anytime you try to make something drastic happen, it adds added pressure, and it's a challenge that is very difficult to keep. So I think, you know, if you want to make improvements, you could just do some small things here and there, but I never make like real huge sweep.
So Con's not participating. Kate, we'll go back out to you because you're back now. Do you have any big New Year's resolutions that you want to make, Kate?
I do. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yes. I can hear you.
Yeah, I would like to get back into yoga.
Oh,
okay.
Is one. I would really, really like to do that. And then two, I want to start speed walking at the local track with all the cool moms. And then okay. I have plants. I'm like a mom, kind of.
Yeah.
And then three, I want to start taking classes again. So, like, I want to start taking more writing classes and just stuff on the side. So, yeah. How about you, chaps?
I don't know. Like, I want to get back in shape, but I've been saying that for, like, 3 years. And I just don't think it's going to happen. I think my schedule is open up a little bit more. I want Zero Block 30 to be like a lot bigger at this time next year. I want to keep growing and doing good things here, putting more effort in there, and like have that as my sole creative outlet, basically, as Zero Block 30.
I have a resolution for the show. I would like to get more, I don't want to say involved, but more out there with current units in the military and meet more people and maybe take some trips if our schedules allow to different bases, different places in the country, and just meet more people that are currently serving. I think that'd be great.
Invite us to your military ball, folks. We will come and we will do.
Oh, you guys haven't been getting invited?
Oh, no, I've been getting invited all the time. We're talking about. I was more speaking of you guys. I wanted you guys to participate.
I have a Zero Block 30 goal too.
What?
I want to ride in a jet plane.
Yeah, yes. I think we are.
No, I said that. Yeah,
I think that is going to happen. I'm pretty excited about that. Bryn, do you have any personal and professional?
Personal, I'm going to try to keep my goals low, but like you, like smart. With all the work that we've been doing, and all of our like schedules kind of just fluctuating, I haven't been in the gym as much either. So my personal, very small goal is to be able to touch my toes, which is kind of, but my thinking is that, you know, the more time I spend in the gym, the more time I'm stretching.
I'm not
those
sure.
Those kind of go hand in hand.
Touching his toes. He can touch
his toes. Oh, he's touching his toes.
Oh, he's touching.
Got the toes.
I can't. Like, yesterday I went snowboarding, and the most difficult part about snowboarding for me was getting boots on, because my fucking gut is getting in the way.
Yeah.
So the more time I'm in the gym, the more time I'm stretching, I'll be able to, like, stretch my toes. And then, obviously, since I've been able to do that, spend more time in the gym, there will be results and progress in there. But yeah, I also want Zero Block 30 to grow. And, you know, those trips are awesome. Going everywhere to all these cities and even to the bases would be cool. I thought going to the Air Force base we'll cut that. But when we were in when we were on the base for the dog training.
We were on Lackland. Fuck it. We were on Lackland.
When we were on Lackland, like, seeing all that kind of stuff was kind of cool. So I definitely want to do more traveling as well.
Bryn, that's such a terrible feeling when you're trying to strap into your board.
It was so difficult. It was the hardest part. I mean, I was zooming down the mountain. Like, I'm a good snowboarder. Like, that's easy to me. But, like, literally, like, bending over to get my straps on, it was painful, too, because I didn't stretch. And I was like,
how sore are you today?
I'm pretty sore. Like, I've been sore because I didn't take any hard slams or anything like that. But, you know, my legs are kind of sore. My core is, you know, kind of, like, and I just woke up too. So, like, I got to stretch. I got to get moving. I'm going to go get like a sandwich for breakfast.
But Bryn, when you're strapping in, you have to like take a break in between, because you can't catch your breath.
Mm-hmm. Like, I got the first strap on and like, I could feel my gut get in the way. And then I had to like reset. And then my second strap, it was painful. It was actually like legitimately painful.
Okay. Zero Blog 30's goal for the year is to be able to touch its toes.
To not be fat pieces of shit. That's our goal. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. We wanted to give you a little update. We're going to get Dakota Meyer on the regular pod, but we wanted to play at the end of the year the episode that we had on the High Haters radio program that you can catch whenever we're back, I think on January 2nd. But it was me, Kate, and Cons. We were all in. I'll kind of let Dave Portnoy set it up because he was in there with Dakota as well. Here is a fiasco with Medal of Honor recipient Dakota Meyer. Here you go.
What a world.
What a world indeed.
Indeed.
Essentially whooped Dave's ass. I responded back to him and wanted to get him on ZBT because he is a Medal of Honor recipient, has an illustrious career in the Marine Corps and all that. But I think that I think you're right, Dave. If he hears the actual story of what happened, there's no way that a rational person sides with them.
No.
It's just not.
And I was telling them before, a little twist. So the original part of it, again, is when Bob was trashing me, he didn't realize one of my friends was there. And he was going on and on. And coincidentally, the weird part, my friend is an ex-Marine as well, who I'm friends with. He literally was like, he was trashing you so much. And it was going on. I wasn't going to say anything because I didn't want, like, create a scene at the basketball game, but it was so much. He's like, I had to say something. I had to be like, yo, like, what is your problem with Dave Porter? He's like, why, you're friends with him? And when he's like, yeah, I am, then he kind of like backed down. But it wasn't just, and it wasn't like one little thing. He really like was going off on me, and while simultaneously acting like he was my best friend and asking for a job and saying I'm the goat of the internet and he wants to work with us. And then I find out this same guy who literally is like begging for a job, granted, won a ton of money, we offered him less, but really, really wanted the job, is trashing me privately. I say it on the radio offhand, be like, fuck Bob Menner. He's like trashing me privately. He doesn't tell that size, like, that's it. Then he calls back in, kind of denies it. Then a week later, he's basically admitting it. And then he just goes on his thing after, you know, you make a fool out of him for being kind of two-faced. He's like, I'll fight him for $1 million. Like you said, chaps.
Yeah, I think it's one of those situations where, like, maybe Dakota was friends with him before and he's getting only Bob's side. So he's like, fuck this guy. He's coming at my friend. I'm going to tell him to go fuck off too, which is something that I definitely would do if one of my friends was in it. I'm automatically on my friend's side. But then if I listen to the entire story, get more details, I'm like, you son of a bitch, yeah. You set me up here.
And I mean, I have proof. I have the right text exchange. It's not like I'm making it up.
Right.
I have a million texts from Bob. I have me being like, listen, dude, like, best of luck. Like, you want too much money. I hope you kill it. Like, go do your thing. He wouldn't stop texting me to the point I'd be, yo, I'm working. Stop texting me. And he's trashing me. So it's like, I just don't know how anybody, like you said, nobody is hearing. Our people get it. Everyone right. who hears both sides, well, like, oh, Menery was a dick.
Yeah. My guess is, like, all of Menery's guys, they just take up for him because they're Menery's guys, right. Much like the Stoolies would take up
right.
for you in any situation because they're on our side. But if they heard everything about the story, no rational person, like Chap right. said, could take anyone's side
way,
except yours, Dave.
I have no problem with him being, like, telling people, yeah, he's an arrogant, dickhead, cocky, asshole, blah, blah, blah. But say it both ways.
Right.
Just say it, like, to me mm-hmm. and say it in my face and not my face. But he was doing just – and by the way, he was still doing the two sides, like, all the way to the end. He'd be texting, like, to Riggs being like, what the fuck, I love, respect. And then he'd go, be like, I want to fight him for $1 million. It's like he wanted to be in Rough and Rowdy. We didn't want him in Rough and Rowdy. Like, that's how
– He's just trying to get in the mix anyway.
He wants to be in Rough and Rowdy.
Yeah.
I just want to say from my own point of view, I have two worlds on Twitter. I have like my Barstool Twitter and then I have the veteran community Twitter mm-hmm. that I had long before Barstool.
Yep.
And it's rare that the two really meet. So I'm in a bar last night writing a blog. I'm just like sitting in this corner of this pub and I'm like taking a break. And I was actually writing a blog about how I wasn't
yep.
I wasn't cool. You said I wasn't cool, which is another story. But I like take a break for a second.
It's kind of ugly, Dave. I mean,
listen.
You were.
I say it to Kate's face. I don't
he
think
did,
you're that
he
cool.
did. He did say it to my
but
face.
But you said I wasn't cool, too. I was surprised that I got left off the cool list.
I don't
Maybe
think
the first time in my life. I was very insulted.
But wait. So
wait, what about me? I didn't get.
No, you're not cool.
You're
All
not
right.
cool. But I'm scrolling through.
But not a lot of people got cool. Like Caleb is cool. You guys think
he
you're
is.
As cool as
he
Caleb?
No, he's cool. He's pretty cool.
Yeah, but that's like saying you're not good in bed because you're not Leonardo DiCaprio.
I'm just saying. Caleb's a real fucking cool dude. Roan is real fucking cool.
Very cool.
Feidelberg's like fucking cool.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, anyways, I'm not like a rap battle champion. Cool.
I'm sitting fair. Alone in this bar like a loser. Hindsight, you're pretty accurate there. Right. So I'm sitting there, and I like take a second away from the blog to scroll through, and I'm like, Barstool Twitter, Barstool Twitter, Barstool Twitter. Medal of Honor recipient Dakota Meyer, who I follow. Oh, my God. He wants to fight my boss. What?
Rob O'Neill, who I've met, he's also like, you'll lose this one. It's like, what are you guys talking like, lose?
Right, what?
Like,
I didn't see anything. I didn't see what you
like, what are you
Rob
guys
said.
Talking about? You're making yourself sound stupid to people who know both sides of the argument here.
Right.
It was just so bizarre to me. And I just like, I it's such a fine line. I feel like you walk on eggshells when you talk about people who have accomplished incredible things. And there's absolutely no taking away from what Dakota Meyer has done.
Yep.
I respect him for the things that he's done. But at the same time, I look at this and I'm like, you're on Twitter challenging a guy who runs a sports
man.
Site
yeah.
to a fight because your friend, like, what?
Right.
Dude, come
right.
on.
Yeah. No, you can, and I agree with it. It's the Medal of Honor is unbelievable, obviously,
right.
debt of gratitude, all that, but you can still be an idiot in certain cases, and he's being an idiot.
Yeah, they're not mutually exclusive.
And I mean, I'm an idiot all the time, and I've done, well, no, I haven't, but still.
I don't think they know. It's like.
Brent, do we got him? I can't see my call list. Do we got him, Brent?
Our serious rep says that we've got him.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, we'll put him through.
This should be good.
Dakota, you there?
Yeah, what's up?
What's up, Dakota? How you doing, buddy?
Good. What's up, man?
So you're on with Dave. Dave, do you want to talk? You want to just take
yeah, yeah. So hey, Dakota. First of all, respect all everything you've done. Sorry, the Medal of Honor, all that. Love that. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Don't start off with that, so you can justify what you're about to say.
I don't need justification. I'm going to give you both sides of the story, and you can tell me whether who you think is right, me or Bob. Is that fair?
Okay. All right, I'm in. Let's hear it.
Okay.
Yeah, of course.
So I've known Bob for over a decade. He applied for a job 10 years ago, and recently when he blew up, he wanted a job again. So he came, met with me, basically said Barstool's his inspiration, loves it, thinks I'm the best person on the internet. We negotiated. We didn't offer him enough money. We offered him 100 grand. He wanted 350. Couldn't come to agreement. Told him that. He basically continued to text me and nonstop. I'm like, listen, like you have a big following. Best of luck. Nothing but the best. Continue to text me. Come on, man. I got to work for you. You're the only person I can work for. Love Barstool. Need to work for Barstool. Let's blow up together. I'm like, we can't afford you. Best of luck. Continued nonstop to text me to the point. I'd be like, listen, we just can't do it. You know, you got to stop texting me. I'm working. Fine. But consistently, like, love Barstool. Love Barstool. He went to a basketball game. A Bulls-Celtics game. One of my friends, who happened, not that this matters, happens to be Marine, was sitting there. He was trashing me nonstop, privately. No idea that one of my friends was in the group. To the point, my friend texted me. He's like, listen, I didn't want to make it weird at the game, but this guy was killing you. No, so long, so nonstop, I thought you had a problem. I was surprised. I was like, what are you talking about?
So,
go ahead.
Did you call him? Did you call him personally?
Call Bob?
Did you call up Bob and say, hey, Bob, like, yeah, did you just call him up and say, hey, man, I heard you say this? Or did you just start out with just trying to use it as entertainment on the internet? Like,
how it came up is on the radio show. It came up in the middle of a show. I'm like, that Bob Menery, that fuck, he trashed me privately.
So privately, he trashed you. So you're 41 years old. Like,
right.
Here's the problem I have with you. You're 41 years old. Did Bob go?
What does that have to do with anything? What does being 41 have to do with anything? Dakota, what's 41 have to do with anything?
Listen.
I just don't like people who kiss my ass to my face and trash me privately.
You know what? Then call him up and say something to him.
Why? Why didn't he call me up? Why didn't he call me up? If he had a problem with me, why wouldn't he tell me instead of do it privately when he never thinks it's going to get back to me? You think I don't know if I'm going to say it on the radio it's going to get back to him? Of course it did. You found out. It got back to everybody.
Well, of course. Why don't you just wait? If you text,
why do I owe him the dignity of calling him? Why do I owe him the dignity of calling him when he's trashing me privately?
So then guess who started? So then guess who started? Guess who started all this?
He did.
You did. Bob was talking about you privately. Hey,
well, wait a minute. You can't say that, Dakota. He's trashing me privately, and my friend is there. He started it. You have no problem with somebody being two-faced?
Oh, here you go. No, you know what I do? You know what I do when somebody talks shit to me? I call him up.
He didn't talk shit to me. He talked about me to somebody else. He didn't say it to my face. Bob Menery did not talk shit to my face. He kissed my ass to my face.
If I had a problem with somebody, I call him up face to face.
So why didn't Bob Menery do that? Why didn't Bob Menery do that?
But here's the deal.
Answer me that. Why didn't Bob Menery talk to my face? He did talk to my face. He said he loved me to my face.
Well, okay. So you know what I mean? Did you call him up after you heard this? No, you didn't. Instead,
I hold you on Bob Menery's side. Bob Menery sat in front of me and said he loved me, and then went into the next room and said I'm an asshole.
Does that make you feel good? I mean, does that like?
I mean, that's true, Dakota. Like, I mean, in real life terms, he was talking shit. He was talking shit. And if anybody knows how, Dakota, if anybody knows how this is going to go down, it's Bob. He's been a stoolie for 10 years, man. He knows exactly what the game is. When you put your feet in the fire with Barstool, you know exactly what you're going to get, and he did it.
I never even heard of Barstool until I seen the tweets go out. I mean, I don't even know what Barstool is.
That's
sounds like to me, it's like a 41-year-old man who started something who's out here appealing to frat boys. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, we have.
Do you think I'm a frat boy, Dakota? I mean, I'm a tattooed ginger fuck, dude. Me, Chaps. I'm a tattooed ginger fuck, and I read it in the office at Quantico.
We are different, but what I'm saying is that like this Barstool guy.
So maybe you're wrong about Bob and wrong about us.
How would you handle it? If somebody had a problem with you, how would you handle it?
Honest to God, just like I did. Like I did with you yesterday, I was willing to do it both privately and professionally, and so was Dave. Dave told the dude, stop texting me, stop calling me, and they went behind his back, and it came up. Like, this is the nature of the business. Bob knows that, man. If this was Goldman Sachs type of situation and it was surprised that it came public, there's all of a sudden a reality show. But when you're dealing with, like, a reality show type of site, you're going to get the – you mess with the bulls, you get the
horns. By the way,
you
Dakota.
Know better than anybody.
Dakota, I had him on the air, and he denied it. He denied it the first time.
I don't get what the argument is. Like both of y'all are going back and forth. Bob has challenged you to
– Because Bob privately says something very different.
Are you going to take it or not?
Fuck no. I can make way more than –
Are you going to take the fight off or not?
No, why would I ever fight? I can make way more –
There you go. And just keep talking.
I'm not talking, dude. If I want to make more than $1 million, I can find somebody who's not a nobody like Bob Menery and make $10 million.
Can I ask a quick question here? Hi, Dakota. Hello? My name's Kate. I'm a big dorky Marine as well.
Hey.
How do you know Bob?
Kate's a Marine too, Kate? Dakota.
Well, how do you know Bob? I'm just like sheer curiosity. Because I saw you pop up on my Twitter last night, and I was like, oh my God, what's happening? I was so confused. How do you know Bob?
Yeah. Bob's a buddy of mine.
How do you know him, though? Like, did you go to, like, high school with him or something? Or are you just...
No. We just hang out. We affiliate with each other. I've watched his stuff forever. So,
well, forever.
I mean,
he's only been doing it for, like, 10 months. So not forever. I've been doing it for 15 years.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks.
So, I mean, I don't live my life on the internet. You know what I mean?
Clearly.
Thank you for your service.
Oh, right. Oh, my God. Are you talking to Dave?
No, I think he's talking to you.
Oh, I was like,
no, I'm talking to Dave. I was talking to Dave.
We were kind of confused because there's like three legit veterans in the room. So
I was like, oh, my God.
Confused who you're talking about.
Dakota, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt because I think you know what, no matter what, he's your buddy, so you can defend him. But anybody who could take his side is just an idiot.
All I'm saying is there's a different way to handle all this. But if you guys want to do it for entertainment, do it for entertainment. You know what I mean? If you guys got problems with each other, then handle it.
Dakota, this is cons.
I mean, you gotta agree with me, right? I mean,
here's why we don't agree with you, Dakota, and here's why, because Bob called into the radio show. It wasn't an issue until Bob called into the radio show and went after Dave. So then Dave, on the heels of that, was defending himself. So really, we got Bob talking shit behind closed doors, kissing Dave's ass to his face, but then he came on the radio show and he went on his own personal Instagram and was talking shit. So he's talking out of both sides of his mouth, and he kind of is the one that brought it to the forefront. This was years ago.
No. That's not totally wrong. The new thing's new. There
the
was
new
something.
Thing's no, but the incident at the basketball
game. This blew up because he called in. We let him talk. Right. And the first time he called in, he denied it. He's just like, no, that didn't happen. Then he admitted it. Then he's like, yeah, no. And then he challenged me to a fight. So...
And I do think that you're normal, like normally you would have it, like do you airing stuff out in private versus publicly, you'd be absolutely right, Dakota. But in this situation, Bob knows.
I mean, I don't get like that's what I don't get. Look, you guys are doing it for entertainment. Just like me jumping in there talking shit to you is entertainment. Like, look, you're 41 years old. I'm 30 years old.
I don't know what 41 has to do with anything.
I appreciate that part. He is old.
I mean, you're old. I mean, dude, you should. You're not like this. Ain't like high school, right? So I mean, let's just be honest about it.
But what does that have to do with anything?
I don't think that holds much weight, though, Dakota, because Bob wanted to work here. He wants to work here. This is what he wants to do, too.
The argument seems to be Bob's an asshole and I'm 41.
No, both of you are assholes. But what I'm saying is that, you know, at the end of the day, you're 41 years old, just like me. Like, I'm 30. I've got kids. Like, the last thing I'm going to do is come worry about some Dave, you know, Barstool or whatever the hell your name is, and come fight you, right? It's funny. It's all entertainment. Just like putting a tweet out. It's all funny. It's entertainment. You know, when people start taking it serious, like, do you think I'm going to come fight you, Dave?
I mean, that would be an ugly fight.
Dakota.
Like, that's why adults don't do that.
But the difference, Dakota.
My tweet out was what's the difference?
Yeah, but
the
Dakota, you did that. You went publicly after Dan Bazarian too. So like you've been in the public foray as well. Like,
well, yeah,
going out there.
Do you want to know what the difference is?
I do. Yes.
The difference is that. Well, then stand by. The difference is that Dan took my wife's number, and Dan took my wife's number that he got off somebody else, and he released it to 22 million people or whatever he's got on his following.
Okay, so that's different. That's fair.
A little different.
I will tell you that the next time I see Dan, like, Dan still got it coming. So,
oh yeah, hell fuck yeah. That's the fight, Dakota. That we need to be going for Rough and Rowdy is Dan Bazarian versus Dakota Meyer.
Yeah, but Dakota, the difference here, Dave, I don't even know who Dave is. Regardless, the difference here, and you're going after Dave's age, I think that is totally inconsequential, because the difference here is, while you tweet for entertainment, Dave tweets and is in the public eye, because that's his profession, that's how he makes a living. And there's obviously a lot of people that get behind what Barstool is doing. So
my main issue is this. Like, I don't care. A lot of people have said I'm an arrogant asshole, I'm a jerk. Fine. If Bob was just saying that to my face and to other people, I'd be fine with it. It's just he is effusive in how much he loved me and how much he wanted to be a part of this for like a year, 6 months, a year straight. And then to hear like he's just thinks I'm the worst fucking human ever. It's like, what a fucking asshole. That's really what it was.
And at the end of the day,
Bob,
he knew exactly what Barstool was inside and out. He knew exactly what it was, and he chose to talk shit. So he should have known that this was going to happen. Like,
that's almost it. He didn't know.
Let's say that what you are saying is true.
Okay.
Let's just say it's true. Let's just hypothetically speak here that you know, look, there's always three sides of the story, sure. Right? His side, your side, and then the truth. But at the end of the day, you know, it still doesn't make sense. Like, the only reason that you would be still talking about it is for entertainment and bring it up on the radio. Same reason that he's coming back at you, throwing a fight up there for $1 million. There's no... You know what I mean? Just like my tweet, like, you two are not, this is...
Yeah, well, no, to be fair, I didn't really want to. He's got a huge following, so all his people, and it's just, like, frustrating to a degree, because he, like, just like you didn't know the
same
three
way
sides.
Back. Yeah, well, you know, it's the same way back. You know how it is? I mean, come on, let's look at this from, like, as adults, not as, you know what I mean? Like, let's look 40, at it
right.
like
40
Well, I don't think we're going to get any further, Dakota. I'm looking forward to talking to you tomorrow, having you on ZBT.
Dakota will end up liking Barstool Sports before it's over. He doesn't want to.
I do, too.
I think Dakota wants...
I don't know very many Marines who like it.
What's the odds? Come on, what's the odds?
I think it's even money. I mean, we're pretty fucking huge in the military. We really are.
Yeah.
It's true.
When we go to games, when we go on military bases, people fucking love us. I'm looking forward to talking to Dakota. Thanks always. Thank you for your service and thank you for being what you did, buddy.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
We'll talk
in.
To you tomorrow.
Solid note, I think, there with Dakota. I think it was fine. I just
I think that there's a lot of things that happen in the Barstool world where I'm like, that's weird. Whenever we were done with the radio that night, it was definitely one of those times where I put my headphones down, turn off Skype, and I just think, yeah, that was weird.
That was weird.
What the fuck was that? What the fuck is this?
Yeah, definitely a what the F moment for
I just had, every time Dave looked at me, I had the stupidest look on my face because I don't think, to him, he might not understand the full weirdness of that, but I was like fully grasping it. And I was like, what? Like, I could not.
Well, and he kept looking to us to kind of get validation that he wasn't going too far, it felt like. Like, am I okay with what I'm saying? But then he just kind of went off the rails, as you heard, and it was weird, as we've said.
It was definitely interesting. Well, thanks, everybody, for sticking with us for the whole year. We'll be back. I think we're going to introduce new music, too. I think we'll start season three of Zero Blog 30 as well. We'll jump into it fresh after the new year. So if you have any recommendations for music, I'm tired of Bodies Hit the Floor and A Careless Whisper, so we'll pick something new. I thought I had it, but it talked too much about the Army, so I had to cut that idea. I'm not even going to let Cons know what that is. I'm just going to let it eat him inside to know what song, and I will never disclose the song that it is.
Whatever we do is going to be better, because I'll be honest, chaps, I was never in a place, I feel like I am now to chime in, but I was never in a place when we first started to tell you I don't like this, and I never liked Bodies into Careless Whisper.
That's ugly. Maybe we'll keep it now.
I got one.
What is it, Kate?
It's not really super military related, but if you like pina coladas.
Yeah, I don't think that's military at all. Also, I did laugh my ass off when President Trump released his video, and it was Proud to Be an American, because it's just like so cringy. That song is just as over the top cheesy American as it gets.
You know, that's like my all-time go-to. Like, it makes me laugh no matter what situation I'm in. So yeah. Very pleased with that video.
Any save rounds, alibis?
Yeah, what did you guys think about, I mean, this is getting super in the weeds, but people saying that the military members should not have been asking for autographs for their MAGA hats because that was them taking a political side.
Oh, shut up, people.
That's stupid. It's the President of the United States. The President of the United States comes to a military unit. People are going to ask for autographs.
Right.
And what are they supposed to do? Like, oh, no, I don't want it. Shut up. Like, stop majoring in minor issues. Of course they are. Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm sorry, if you're deployed over.
Yeah. Well said, Kate.
Well said.
I mean, if you're there and you're anybody, it's still the President of the United States. If you have the opportunity to meet the President of the United States, you take it and you get an autograph. It's just what you do. There's only been 45 of them, and I think at this point only 5 of them are alive. So if you get to meet one of the 5, you ask for their autograph. It's the way it goes.
Totally agree.
It's on the retreat.